Sometimes, though, I think all of this could be the Federation, like Star Trek, where they want us to go toward a one-world space program. Is that possible, Richard, Charles?
Well, as Charlie and I have talked about a lot, you know, the Russians have formally invited the Indians to go to the moon with them. Putin tendered this invitation. The Indians have accepted. The Indians, George, this year, a few days ago, voted a 58% increase in their human spaceflight program.
Where are they getting their money?
Well, they're using their money, discretionary money, as David said, in the ultimate investment in the future of Indians and the human race. The Indians know what a few people in this country know, and people like Charlie know really well, that money invested in a NASA-like program, as David said, makes people richer. It's perhaps the only government expenditure that makes any money. And according to the econometric studies I've seen, it makes a lot of money. Charlie, you remember that Chase Econometrics did a study back in the 80s that there was something like a 23-to-1 return on NASA dollars invested in the space program?
I sure do remember. I was a contributor to some of that as they acquired background to make that. But I've noticed something across the years, and that is that that kind of question has died away. And I think it's died away because it's an impossibility to track the benefits that result, especially the economic benefits. And one of the things that you know, I instinctively feel is that trying to find out what kind of return on your investment comes from having a space program in a country is very much like trying to track what kind of economic benefits did you get from using the wheel in your country. It goes into the economy on a day-in and day-out basis. And in a very short time, there's an inability to follow it because it becomes so diffused, and you'd have to have teams of people doing extraordinarily detailed studies, and you wouldn't be able to do it within any kind of reason at all. I'll give you one example, and I'm a little upset with the way in which we somehow don't get a return on our dollar back to help us balance our budget. The Global Positioning System didn't come out of NASA, but it came out of space research. And it is now so embedded in our day-to-day operations that if we had 1/100th of a penny for the daily uses, almost as if you had to put a nickel in a slot every time that you made use of the GPS, we could probably balance the national budget. And that was done with American taxpayers' money. But all over the world, it has made people more efficient as individuals. It's made business more efficient. I was looking at GPS uses. If you go to Google, just type in there, uses of GPS. Every time I go there, the list gets longer as people innovate.
Oh, gosh. Search and rescue, FedEx, packages, hikers. You know, it just goes on and on. And you're saying that if we had a fraction of a penny for every use, we could literally balance the federal budget deficit of something like $14 trillion if that money had been accrued since the beginning of GPS.
Take a look. You'd have to accumulate this money across time because it has become part of our way of life. And that sort of thing is not identified in the minds of the American people. And so they don't have an appreciation for what comes out of space. If you look at what makes wealth, what we heard in the last moments of your last hour, that's very true. And when I think in terms of India making their investment, and we are too poor, They know where the future is.
Yep.
And so when people say, why are we spending money on space? If we were to quit, space exploration wouldn't be stopped because it would then be a condition of it, not us, then it's going to be them.
Exactly. Somebody will do it.
Somebody will do it, and they will do it for a variety of obvious reasons. The whole list of them, you know, including international prestige and pride and technological innovation and the sheer joy of discovery. Look what the Indian provided instrument did on our
oh my gosh.
Yeah, discovering thousands of tons of water.
Yeah, the story you and I discussed earlier in the week, George, on Monday, NASA announced, because it was their experiment riding on the Indian unmanned orbiting first spacecraft, the Indian sent into lunar orbit last summer.
Millions, right?
They announced the discovery of something like 600 million metric tons. 600 million metric tons of water just in a few craters at the North Pole of the Moon. Now, the key to an explosion of economic progress and development and self-sustainability of human beings in lunar bases for mining and all the other things that we can do with the moon is water.
And these regions never see sunlight.
They never see sunlight. It's frozen in the bottoms of craters. It was an Indian spacecraft that discovered this with a NASA-developed instrument flying piggyback on board and U.S. scientists participating. And NASA chose this week under Bolden, under Obama, to announce this discovery. Now, again, going back to my crazy like a fox model, why do you think NASA is putting out the lure of the riches to be found on the moon at the same time that the president is saying, we're not going to go back? It makes no sense unless you're playing a higher level political game in the U.S. Congress to get everybody to buy in, to have skin in the game, to go together to exploit these resources and make us all very, very rich.
Now, but you just said something important when you said to go together. Who's together?
I mean Republicans and Democrats.
Oh, okay, see, and I think it means
what Americans are desperately missing, George and Charlie, is for Congress to work like it used to work. Charlie, how did the budgets used to be decided when we were doing these amazing things back in your heyday?
Well, I was based at Goddard, and we're only about 15 miles out of Washington. And so we had a lot of exposure to visiting members of Congress. And I was just deeply impressed by the way in which they were forever visiting with us, trying to get up to speed. So many come from the background of law or non-technical areas. I think right now we may have maybe five scientists and engineers in all of the Congress.
Two doctors and I think three engineers.
Maybe about three medical doctors. And the others come from non-technical backgrounds, but conscientious and you know, desperately trying to learn this new language and all these new concepts. And they were out on the scene, close to the people, in and out of our chambers and the laboratories, constantly being educated, learning that lingo, feeling the dedication, you know, and debating options. And I hope and I presume that it's that way today by that group, because they are the appropriators of the money, and they have got to be prudent with it and approach it on the basis of an investment. The rest of the world seems to see this a lot more clearly than we do, or we would not be constantly facing the question of why are we throwing money away in space? And, of course, we're not. It's all spent here, and it has a return on the dollar that we've kind of given up trying to track because it's absolutely so enormous.